So today we're going to be exploring some biblical teaching on evangelism in the context of good works. So we've seen how evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel, you know, the preaching of the gospel to the whole world. We've also seen how it is the performing of signs and wonders, healing the sick, so forth. But it's also a demonstration of God's love through acts of compassion and service to others. So let's dive into some scriptures to understand how Jesus himself modeled evangelism through good works and see how this applies to our lives as followers of Christ. Section 1, Jesus' example. Jesus brings justice. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So, we see in Isaiah's prophecies here, he depicts Jesus as the suffering servant, characterized by humility, gentleness, and justice. Evangelism involves embodying the servant heart of Christ, seeking to bring healing and hope to those who are broken and oppressed. Our actions should therefore not be motivated by judgment or self-righteousness, but by righteousness and equity, fairness, just as Jesus exemplified. As we serve others in humility, we demonstrate the love and compassion of Christ, pointing people to the true source of hope and restoration. Jesus brings jubilee. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to comfort all who mourn, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Isaiah's prophecy of Christ bringing jubilee encompasses the essence of evangelism and good works. Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, freedom to the captives, and comfort to the brokenhearted. As his followers, we are called to continue his mission, offering hope, forgiveness, and restoration to those who are caught up in sin and despair. Evangelism is not a mere intellectual exercise. It involves bringing joy and gladness to those who mourn, working to replace ashes with beauty, and embodying a spirit of praise instead of despair. Let us embrace the Spirit's anointing to be ambassadors of Christ, so that we can declare his liberating gospel and demonstrate his transformative love to the world. Jesus the servant. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. In this powerful scene, Jesus, who is fully aware of his divine authority, humbly takes on the role of a servant. He washes the feet of his disciples, a task typically performed by a lowly servant in ancient culture. This act of humility demonstrates Jesus' selflessness and his call for his followers to adopt a servant's heart. As Christians, we are called to serve others with humility, putting their needs above our own, just as Jesus did. Jesus feeds the hungry. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus exhibits both his compassion and his divine power. He is moved by the people's hunger and takes action to address their physical needs. This miracle not only demonstrates Jesus' ability to provide for his followers, but also points to his role as the bread of life. As Christians, we are called to imitate Jesus' compassion by caring for the hungry and marginalized, while also trusting in God's provision and sufficiency to do so. Jesus' obedience to serve. Have this among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see a profound reflection on Jesus' humility and obedience as the servant. Despite his divine nature, Jesus willingly emptied himself and took on human form to serve humanity and accomplish the Father's will. He demonstrated perfect obedience, even to the point of death on a cross, as the ultimate act of self-sacrifice. This passage emphasizes the importance of having the same mindset as Christ, a mindset of humility, obedience, and selflessness. As followers of Jesus, we are called to follow his example by serving others and submitting to God's will with humility and obedience. Section 2, Good Works as Our God-Given Destiny. We are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the metaphors of salt and light to illustrate the transformative impact of good works. Salt, in ancient times, was added to food to both preserve it and enhance its flavor. Likewise, our good works preserve godly values in society and enrich the world around us. Just as light dispels darkness, so our Christ-like actions illuminate the truth of the gospel, drawing others to Christ. Therefore, our evangelism is incomplete without the tangible evidence of good works that reveal the character of Christ in us. Created in Christ for good works. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's grace is the catalyst for both our salvation and our engagement in good works. Our redemption is a gift of God's grace, not earned through our efforts. However, as recipients of this grace, we are called to be ambassadors of Christ's love in the world, while we wait for his return. God has uniquely crafted each believer for different good works, equipping each of us with spiritual gifts and opportunities to serve. Our evangelism, therefore, flows from our gratitude for God's grace, as we seek to reflect his love to others through acts of service and compassion. Called to action through love. Called to love through action, rather. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Here the Apostle John emphasizes the sacrificial nature of love and its practical expression through tangible action. Christ's sacrificial love serves as the foundation of our love for others. If we have the means to help someone in need and choose not to, God's love is not truly in us. Genuine love for others includes both evangelism and good works, demonstrating Christ's love in action and truth, drawing others to the transformative power of the gospel. And as we lay down our lives for others, we imitate Jesus' selfless sacrifice, allowing the world to see the power of the gospel in our lives and relationships. We are called to remember the poor. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. When sending them out to share the gospel, James, John, and Cephas asked Paul and Barnabas to remember the poor. Jesus' ministry exemplified compassion and good works towards the poor and lowly. He healed the sick, comforted the brokenhearted, and demonstrated God's mercy wherever he went. Evangelism involves meeting both physical and spiritual needs as we remember the marginalized and extend the love of Christ towards them. Just as Paul was eager to remember the poor, we too should eagerly embrace opportunities to serve those in need, reflecting love and compassion. So, Andrew wants me to tell some stories of good works that I've done. I don't like really kind of, well, I feel like I'm kind of boasting or bragging about kind of how, you know, how holy I am or whatever when, you know, when I'm talking to people about it's easier when I'm talking about, you know, miracles and signs and wonders, because it's easier for me to talk about what God has done. Whereas when it's, you know, doing good works, it tends to be more talking about myself and what I've done. But I will say this as a preface, which will allow me to speak about it easier, which is that none of it is what I have done. It's all what God has done through me. Before he gave me his Holy Spirit, I wanted to be doing good things. I wanted to be helping people and loving people and sacrificing my own time to do that. But I didn't find the energy. I didn't find the enthusiasm. It was, you know, it was easier not doing those things, and I ended up not doing them. And then when I was born again, that was all I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was you know, to evangelize and help people and minister to the poor and the homeless. So yeah, I kind of got very much involved with all of that, and I started ministering to the homeless primarily. And kind of people on the street. Having lived in cities, there was, you know, a lot of those kind of people around. And there's lots of stories I could tell, but the one that I suppose for me, it's hard to find words talking about this kind of thing, really. But I suppose the one that left the most impact on me was ministering to an elderly Irish man named Seamus. When I first met Seamus, he was begging on the side of the road in a wheelchair. He was in his mid-70s, and he only had one leg. And bless him, Seamus, he didn't have a very loud voice. So he was there on the side of the road asking people for money, but this very, you know, very small, very quiet voice coming out of him, and I observed, you know, everyone just walked past him, and, you know, he didn't even look up at people as he was asking, and he just, you know, he was just done. You could see that from his, that he was just done. And I walked up and down this street to go to and from work. So I would see him quite often, And every time I saw him, I started stopping and spending some time with him and speaking to him and buying him some food. And occasionally I would wheel him up a hill if there was somewhere he needed to go that was up the hill or so forth. And I would cover the cost of hostels for him if he wasn't able if he didn't have anywhere to stay that night. And over the months, I saw Seamus change. I saw him become more of himself again. Not that I knew him before, but you could see like life start to come back into him and energy and enthusiasm. And he started to look up at people as they went past and smile at people as they went past. I would keep praying for him and praying with him and ministering to him, telling him about Jesus, telling him about my faith. And he was brought up going to church, and he had been away for many years. He had got cancer in his leg, and he had to have it amputated. And because of that, he lost his job, and then he lost his wife, and then he lost his home, and he ended up on the street. And he was just a desolate person. Really, and God pointed him out to me as I was going about my daily life. And by the time we parted ways, when I moved from that city, we had got him linked up with a local homelessness charity. He had been assigned a care worker. We had sorted out the benefits that he was due, and he was saving up for a new wheelchair. He had a place to stay every night, and he was he had a backlog of benefits that were due to come in, and he was going to buy a ticket to go back to Ireland. He also started going to church, wheeling himself to church during this time. I didn't do much to help him, really. It didn't take much time out of my life or much resources of mine to help him. But through the power of God, I know that I completely changed his life thereafter. I can't imagine, I trust that God would have sent someone else to him. To think of him, 75-year-old man odd, in a wheelchair with one leg, homeless, wheeling himself around the streets of a city, during the night, during the winter, during the rain, being robbed by people, it was just heartbreaking. And I didn't do much to help him out of that situation, really. I kind of linked him up with some local services and helped tie him over in the meantime. I don't want to go on telling stories, because I start to ramble on, don't I? But another thing that I've been involved with is helping churches step in to serving the homeless. So in various cities around the UK, we have something called the Winter Churches Night Shelter. And what this is, do you have this in Letchworth? No. I don't know if you have much of a homeless problem in Letchworth. You do. Hidden. Yeah. Yeah. So this is what the Winter Church's Night Shelter is about, really, is just kind of stepping into that gap and acknowledging that there are people who are homeless in our local areas. And yeah, stepping in as a church to do something about that. So this is primarily an initiative over winter, you know, where it becomes very difficult for people to be sleeping out, and where it can be a risk to their health and life even. So what the churches do is we link up with other churches, and then there's like a circuit of a homeless night shelter. So each day of the week, a different church will host the night shelter, and homeless people will come, and they're served a hot meal, and they're given a place to sleep for the night. So, for example, in this church hall, and there's obviously, you know, people that stay overnight and work kind of sleeping shifts to supervise the night and what have you. And this has been very successful in London and in Bristol and in Milton Keynes as well. And over the months that we do this, the amount of transformations in people's lives that we see is amazing. You know, people getting jobs, people finding places to live, and leaving the shelter early, people coming to Jesus, people being born again, people starting going to church. It's quite amazing, really. Anyway, yeah, that's enough about stories and things. Let's go on to...
Are there any other kinds of works that you've been in, organised works that you've been involved
with? Yeah, so... There's another initiative in Bristol I was involved with called Love Bristol. And this again is a collaboration between different churches to serve the local community. And there's various things that we will do to serve the local community. So that could be, for example, doing people's gardens. If you're going along with a lawnmower and, you know, finding gardens that need mowing and offering to mow them, or it could be doing litter picking or planting flowers on a unsightly bit of land, or anything really to serve the local community, to taking elderly neighbours to the supermarket, or doing a shop for them, or, you know, etc., etc. And yeah, again, this is something that I think has a wide-reaching impact on the local community, and it is a great witness to the local community that the church is alive in their area. So another thing that I did when I was living in Christian community, and we were living in Christian community and kind of part-time working, part-time serving the local church, we would, as a group, my housemates and I, we would go and visit elderly members of the congregation, which was, you know, something that we didn't think. Basically, they appreciated it a lot more than we thought they would, if that makes sense. It was one of the things that the members of the church were most thankful to us for, was the time in the fellowship that we spent with them. So I think even something as simple as that is a good work, you know, to our brothers and sisters. People's needs may not always be hunger, maybe loneliness, or they're feeling a bit down, they need someone to talk to, or whatever, that, you know, to pray for them. So I think there's various kinds of good works. I also helped run a soup kitchen, where every Thursday we would go down to a designated place, and out of our car boots we would serve hot soup and sandwiches to homeless people. And it's amazing how quickly word spreads among the homeless community. Even if we changed the place, they would know. There would always be lots of people turning up hungry. Through that, I was able to, this is another thing I do, I'm a member of the Gideons. I pay a monthly membership, and that allows me access to buy Bibles at cost rate. I'm sure you've probably seen the Gideon's Bibles, that they're no longer called the Gideon's in the UK, but lovely red Bibles with the gold leaf. So, and anyone that you give it to, and immediately they recognize it as something of value and something to treasure. And there have been homeless people that I've given them to that I've seen months later, and they still have their Gideon's Bible in their inside pocket. The Bibles that, you know, traditionally you would see on a hospital side or in the bedside table, the brown ones, or in a hotel drawers, the majority of those are placed by the Gideons. They also work with like youth clubs and sports teams to give members of the teams like personalized Bibles with their team logo on and things. That's another ministry that is there to get involved with. And so whenever I'm going out ministering or evangelizing, or, you know, doing a soup kitchen or whatever, I will have a few of those copies on me, and I will let God tell me, you know, who to give them to. And it's amazing, you know, the people that I meet through that and the conversations that starts with people. So yeah, all that being said, there's lots of different kinds of works that we can do, and God has put different things on our hearts and given us different interests and different passions and different abilities. Some of us are good cooks, and maybe, you know, could serve up a mean veggie chili or carne chili con carne, to serve to the homeless, or even just to the people, you know. Other of us, you know, they may enjoy cleaning or something, and, you know, and you could offer to clean the house of an elderly, you know, or I don't know, that's a bad example maybe, but some of us are into gardening maybe, you know, and you may want to offer your service to your neighbours or to, you know, someone who's no longer able to garden. Called to remember the poor. So good works express and verify our faith. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warm and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." In James 2, James addresses the relationship between faith and works. asserting that genuine faith is evidenced through good works. Our faith in Christ should naturally lead us to act in love and compassion towards others. Evangelism involves not only verbal proclamation, but also living out the power of the gospel in our daily lives. When our faith is alive, it compels us to engage in acts of kindness, mercy, and justice, making the gospel tangible and relevant to those around us. Good works make us and the gospel visible. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Here Jesus compares believers to a city set on a hill, an unmistakable beacon that cannot be hidden. Just as a lamp is meant to shine and dispel darkness, we are called to let our light shine before others through our acts of kindness, compassion, and selfless service. Our good works become a radiant testimony of God's love and grace, making them, and in turn the gospel, tangible and visible to those around us. As we engage in acts of love and service, we illuminate the path towards Christ and pray that others may be drawn to the source of our faith. Ultimately, by letting our light shine through good works, we point people to our Father in heaven, giving glory to him through our lives and actions. Good works demonstrate our love for God through service to Christ. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." The parable of the sheep and the goats reminds us of the eternal significance of good works in our Christian faith. Our love for Christ is lived out through our love and care for others, especially the vulnerable and marginalized. As we engage in evangelism, let us remember that acts of kindness and compassion are a direct reflection of our love for Jesus. When we serve those in need, we serve him. And when we neglect them, we neglect him. Our evangelism, therefore, should be marked by selfless love and care for all, recognizing the divine image in every person we meet. The Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The Great Commission encapsulates Jesus' call for us to engage in evangelism and good works. We are called to go into all the world, making disciples by sharing the gospel and baptizing new believers. However, the Great Commission goes beyond the initial proclamation of the gospel. It involves teaching disciples to observe all that Jesus commanded. This includes not only the doctrines of faith, but also the practical application of the gospel in our lives. Our evangelism is incomplete without the nurturing and equipping of new believers to walk in the footsteps of Christ, spreading his love and truth through their actions as we do ours. As we conclude on this study on Jesus' evangelism and good works, let us be reminded of the inseparable connections between our love for God, our faith, our salvation, our call to evangelism, and our destiny of good works. Jesus not only proclaimed the gospel, but also embodied it through acts of love, compassion, and justice. Let us go forth with hearts transformed by his love, equipped to be his hands and feet in this hurting world. As a church engaging in evangelism, let's encourage and support each other to take small steps and small leaps of faith for Christ. Let us remember James's exhortation that good works are not an optional extra to our faith or love for God, but a natural outworking of faith and love in our lives. Let our actions be a living testimony of the transforming power of the gospel, drawing others to Christ. Let us love God through loving others, seeking to love in truth and action. And may the Holy Spirit empower us to live out the truth of God's word, that the world may see and glorify our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude for your gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the example of Jesus, who perfectly demonstrated how we ought to love you and others. We pray for your Holy Spirit to empower us to be faithful witnesses, sharing the gospel with both our words and actions. Fill us with love and compassion for those around us, especially the marginalized and oppressed. Grant us wisdom to discern opportunities to serve and bring hope to the brokenhearted. May our evangelism be genuine, reflecting the grace and love that we receive from you. Strengthen us in times of challenge, and grant us the courage to stand for truth and justice. We surrender our lives to your service, that you may be glorified through our good works. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord, we pray. Amen.